This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Must be some way out of the off-season. And there is. It's called tomorrow. It's called opening day. And by the way, with the Sixers and Flyers thing, we do need this. Like, I know we're still in more of a high than not because of the Eagles. But let's not overlook the dreadfulness.
We've had no competition for over a month.
We haven't had a game to watch.
I mean, why do you think I watched every single game of the NCAA last weekend?
Oh my
I needed
God.
Something to watch.
Holy mackerel. All right, good morning to you. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. We got Ruben. We got Devin. We got Rhea. We got Seltzer. Wonderful to have you with us here. We also got John Russell Wilson in the division. I got to tell you, I don't know if there's been a player who has been more in the Hall of Fame, who may have played his way out of the Hall of Fame more than Russell Wilson. I'm serious. I thought 3 years ago he was a lock. And now I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. John Russell Wilson, no real threat there, right?
Oh, he's talented. He's better than what they had because he knows what he's looking at.
He's a placeholder.
He's turning 37
Malik
this year.
Neighbors,
they're still going to draft their quarterback.
37. Russell Wilson's going to be 37 in November.
Well, that doesn't mean quite what it used to mean.
Malik Neighbors is legit.
Yeah, I know.
But it does mean what
Wilson now has a legit target to throw it
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's true.
I also think Wandale Robinson's a good slot, and Darius Slayton, he can be more than what he's been if there's a good quarterback throwing to him.
Well, he's upgrade on Daniel Jones.
He absolutely is an upgrade, and those receivers will have more success than they've had. I don't know who Theo Johnson is, their tight end, and Daniel Bellinger, it sounds like they need to add in that area, but they'll throw the ball with Russell Wilson, and they'll push it downfield with Russell Wilson, which is something Daniel Jones wasn't always willing to do.
No.
This guy's got a good arm. Remember, he was a pro baseball player, too. He's still got juice in that right arm. And I am worried about Malik Neighbors on the other end of it. I'm not worried so much about the other guys. But it's not like they're going
to... Three wins.
They're not going to beat us because they
three
added
wins.
Russell Wilson.
That's what I'm predicting for the Giants right now.
Six.
Because of Russell Wilson.
It did not move the needle at all in terms they were listed at 3.5 wins next week, and they signed Russell, and it didn't move at all.
Yeah, and look, they probably will still draft their quarterback of the future, so a lot of people think will be Shedeur Sanders. So we'll see. We'll see.
I think that they probably will still draft Shedeur, and this is the tutor for Shedeur Sanders, and it's going to work out, you know, they'll be middle of the pack. I don't think they're a three-win team. I think Brian Daboll is actually kind of a good coach. He just doesn't have anything to work with.
All right, so look, 215-592-9494. That's still about 6 months away. What's not is tomorrow, and that's opening day. Look, Trey Turner, in my opinion, the most important fill. The swing factor from a guy who could be a top 15 player, and could be a top 10 player in baseball if he really, really, really hits the ball with consistency, or be like not even a top 50 player, is there. Devin, Trey Turner, do you believe in him?
I mean, as a fan, I want to believe in him, but you know, looking at it objectively, he hasn't given me much to believe in, especially in the moments that matter, and I haven't really heard anything from him to prove that he's doing a lot to change that. I think, you know, him leading off is, I'm not against it, but it almost feels like a desperation move. Like, look, this is what we're doing, guys. Like, we're making changes. We didn't bring in any other, you know, big bats this offseason, but look, we're changing the lineup, so everything's going to be different. And it's a lot of pressure on Trey Turner, and we haven't seen him perform well under pressure, so I don't have any evidence to give me faith in Trey this
season. Rube, I think you're too high on Trey. I know he can do it, but he hasn't enough for me to say I believe in him, and I consistently hear you say he's about to put up a big year.
Does he want to lead off? Because it feels like if he really desired this, we would have known long ago, hey, man, Trey, he's locked in.
I don't even care, though, John. Here's what I mean. I just want him to be good wherever he hits. I really mean that.
Of course. I mean, like, I think he should plan to be good no matter, because it is his livelihood.
I mean, the guy gets paid like $30 million a year.
Of course he needs to be good. But why? I do think it helps you be good if you like what you're doing, where you're hitting. And again, I've never been in a lineup. I don't know. Right. I don't know about this personally from my experience, but I would think, like, man, if I'm chomping at the bit to be the leadoff guy to represent the team first at the plate, like, that seems cool. If he feels like it's cool, I think he'll probably play even better. Does he like this idea?
Oh, I think he wants to be at the top of the lineup, but I don't think it matters to him where he is at the top of the lineup. And I also think, you know, and it's a good segue for me, just having watched him and observed him during the course of this spring in particular, a lot of questions about his defense and this, that, and the other. And I question it as myself, but the work that he puts in and the time that he puts in, not just, you know, in the cage, but also especially defensively, this guy wants to be great. He is not a vocal guy. He doesn't show a lot of emotion. And I think a lot of people here in Philadelphia like people who show emotion.
Yeah, that's true.
And the reality of it is...
Not when Alec Bohm shows emotion.
And, well, the right kind.
Right, I'm just saying.
Yeah, appropriate emotion.
That's part of why AI was loved.
And I think that's one of the reasons why, the expectation on Trey is a little higher, because he doesn't really show a lot of emotion, but the great ones don't. They stay very, very steady. And I think that this third year now for him.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a really big year for him in a lot of ways. And I think, number one, I think he also knows, and there's a little heat on him, I think he also knows that if he doesn't play well at shortstop this year, he may not be the shortstop for the Phillies much longer.
So this is all stemming from what you've observed. He's putting the work in.
He's working defensively. His ass off with Bobby Dickerson every single day.
And I mean, he's tough on him, isn't he? He like yells at him. That's what I heard.
Oh, they yell at each other. Oh, wow. They play with each other. It's great to hear.
This level of full investment, he's going hard on the defensive side, even though all we talk about, for the most part, is whether his approach is going to be better. He's focused on the defensive side.
I think Bobby's breaking him down to the point where he's doing, this is a guy who's been around in the game for a while, and he's doing fundamental things day in, day out, all the time. And that work that he does in that half field is my favorite time to watch guys work. And it's also one of the reasons why I love Bobby Dickerson. That's another aside. But these guys get after it, man.
Good.
They're getting after it, all of them. And it's fun to watch. And listen, for those who think that there's no urgency on this team, you're absolutely in the wrong, unequivocally in the wrong, because I know what they do and I know the work that they put in.
All right. All right, well, look, we'll find out starting tomorrow. We'll see if it translates. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Rob in South Jersey. Rob, good morning.
Joe, what's going on, man?
Quite a bit.
Hey, it's been a long time since I called. I was thinking about you on Sunday. If you want to, you know, get ready to take on Fritz, you should have ran in the Phillies 5K this past Sunday, man. It was a great time.
Can you imagine?
Well, I did that a couple years ago.
3.2 miles?
Yeah, I did. I did one. I did a Flyers 5K. I did two of them. I did two 5Ks. I did one at the Art Museum around 2017.
Did you walk?
No, I ran. And I did Flyers around the arena back in, I don't know, 2010 or something.
A light jog.
No, I did all right. I was in decent shape at that point. I really was.
What was your time?
Yours truly came in the top 6%, not to brag, but in all seriousness, it was thanks to the Phillies. I talked to Dan Baker. Everybody did a great job down there.
He's a great man. Dan Baker is a great human.
I kind of wanted to ask him if he could say my name like he does for the Flyers, like on my phone, but I didn't want to like be too nosy.
I wonder if he gets that a lot.
Yeah, sure. He does. I brought him up on stage when Ryan Howard and Chase Utley went in the Philly Sports Hall of Fame back in the fall. Dan was in the audience, and I brought him up on stage, and it was great. I mean, it's so absurd if I would say their name when Dan Baker's there. Let's have him say the name. And he was so great. He was so gracious about it.
As I say, the voice of an angel. But getting to the season, guys, real quick. I'm going to start off with the negative real quick. I don't want to touch on this too much, but, and again, I'm mostly positive, which I'll get to, but it is an absolute slap in the face that Taiwan Walker is filling in for Ranger Suarez. It just is. The fact that I think they're 0-15 in his last 15 starts last year, he was terrible this spring. Give me Joe Ross. Even give me anybody. Like, I'm so sick of them throwing out Taiwan Walker. It is almost a what do they used to call him with the Sixers? A scheduled loss when he starts.
You're right.
And the fact that it's embarrassing. But anyway, with that said, I am mostly positive. And to listen to people call in and say they are not excited about this season, what is wrong with these people? The Phillies are a consensus top five team in all the power rankings, CBS, Yahoo, ESPN. On MLB Network yesterday, three different people are picking this team to win the World Series. If have we learned anything, the crowd that was down on Nick Sirianni and down on the Eagles, I know it's a different team, but are they going to win the World Series? That's hard to do, and I'm not going to guarantee that. Nobody would. But to not be excited for tomorrow, you are out of your mind if you're not excited. Let's go, Phil.
All right, Rob. I love your call. Give me an answer for a character that's compelling as an adversary in a sports film.
Real quick, Joe, I just want to mention, you mentioned Austin Hayes earlier. You know he's starting cleanup for the Reds this year?
Well, it's not. I'll sum it up this way. It's not the big red machine anymore.
No.
That's right. I'm going to go with, if he hasn't been said yet, I'm going to go with Shooter McGavin.
That's a big answer, man.
Love that.
That's
a really good answer.
Been waiting for that answer all.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten that answer yet.
I consider taking that one off the board because it would be so hard to not vote for.
It's very big. I mean, I don't know that it'll definitely win, but it's very big. Well, Johnny Lawrence, big answer.
Beyond jerk. Yeah. Johnny Lawrence is massive. But Shooter McGavin's a bigger jerk than Johnny.
Shooter McGavin is a bigger jerk.
Oh, yeah. I think Shooter's the best answer so far.
He may not be a bigger jerk, though, than Johnny Lawrence's sensei.
By the way, John Kreese was the name.
Kreese.
I had like 15 Kreese. People call me up to tell me during the Wheels interview. Name.
John Kreese. That's a good answer, too. Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
Yo, fellas, ladies, and Joe. How we doing today?
I'm in the third category.
Yeah, and I don't even have like a classification for that category. That John Fritz is going to murder you, right?
I know that. I am very aware, Tom.
How much work have you gotten in on this, quote, first week of training, end quote, Joe?
He did 20 push-ups. He did 20 push-ups, 20 sit-ups, and walked.
And a walk. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it, huh? Mm-hmm. You know what you are? You are the stationary warrior. That's what you are. No one does nothing better than you in the history of humanity.
I don't know that we can use warrior there.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Stationary
soldier, maybe it's a little less stationary soldier because he's
not even soldier.
No, too strong.
It feels like if let's take it to chess, like the crappiest piece.
Thanks.
The pawn.
I appreciate that. The pawn.
The stationary pawn. Okay, glad we workshopped that. You know, with the Phillies, I this is going to be a completely different call from the one you just had. I mean, the Phillies have become the redheaded stepbrother to the real team in town across the street, Midnight Green, right?
I don't know about that.
No. They can win a World Series this season.
You know what, John? I think that they had their shot 2 years ago, and they blew it.
What about the fact that the Eagles had their shot 2 years ago, and they blew it?
Yeah,
which is actually true.
The Eagles made a ton of changes to their squad that improved them.
That's true.
He could still put us over the hump with some crazy the trade deadline moves.
Tom, you know what
their trade deadline moves are this year?
What?
Bringing up young guys.
Yeah, that's going to be
But Tom, there is one thing I think that's been a little shortchanged in this offseason. Lizardo and Kepler are not like nothing and nothing.
Right. I don't know if you do enough. Don't forget about Romano. Here's where I discount Romano.
Is I lost Hoffman, so like I'm not adding.
The comparison was just made to the Eagles. So if you're going to compare it to the Eagles, then take a look at what the Eagles did. Compare it to what the Phillies
did. Saquon Barkley. I understand Saquon did not walk in this door. I get that.
Or Cooper DeGene, or Quinyon Mitchell.
There were young players that were brought in that you did not know anything about until they performed.
Yeah, I mean, Tom, we really don't know that Crawford and Painter aren't going to have a major impact on the stretch this year. You don't know that.
That could be a great comp.
No, you don't, but we hope that they do. But you know what? Hope isn't a plan.
Okay, well, I'll buy that.
But it's all we got to work with right now because we don't know for sure.
Well, and I do think it's interesting, there wouldn't be any sports or fans.
The Painter to the draftees, it does feel like it could come true.
Okay. It's interesting.
He is stepping up this season, and we have gathered that he's the best pitching prospect in the history of our organization.
We should have asked Wheels if that's true.
Yeah. So do you guys actually think that we beat the Dodgers this year in any playoff series?
I think it's possible. How'd
they do against them last year? They had a pretty good team.
I think that was the regular season. That doesn't count.
I think in a playoff series, the Phillies would have about I'm giving them a 40% chance to beat the Dodgers if they go head-to-head. 40%.
Yeah, I just don't say it.
Okay.
All right.
I just don't say it. So,
a lot can happen between now and when they'll be playing the Dodgers
Tom, just know this, man. Like, Zach Wheeler's pretty freaking good, man. I'll take that guy twice in a seven-game series.
Is really good.
You know?
Absolutely. It's a great pitching staff. But you know what? We're going into the season banged up, and Taiwan Walker's going to be starting great.
I know. All right, Tom, I need an answer. A compelling adversary in a sports movie.
How about The Beast from The Sandlot?
Has already been said.
Oh, it has?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great minds.
Ivan Drago?
Oh, he did?
Huh?
Drago said
you got one more shot.
I'm probably out of bullets then. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. Appreciate the call. Coming up in 1 minute, something Jimmy Rollins said, more on the leadoff thing. He's leaning toward Trey instead of Schwarber for leading off. The mindset of a leadoff hitter. Jimmy, coming up in 1 minute, what he said.
Wild Fork Foods has been a game changer in my house. I'm making amazing, fresh, and healthy meals that even my kids are devouring. Wild Fork's secret is all the products are blast frozen to lock in peak freshness, flavor, and quality. And my secret, Wild Fork's Forkies. They're trained staff. They'll walk you through every step of how to prepare your Wild Fork products to perfection. They taught me how to cook a tomahawk ribeye. It's all about the foil. They have over 700 items in store and online. The selections and the prices are unmatched. And with the spring holidays here, Wild Fork has you covered. Over 100 fish selections from salmon, sea scallops, Chilean sea bass, extra large shrimp, and so much more. They also have kosher products like whole young chicken, oak smoked salmon, and beef brisket flat cut that are OU, Triangle K, and Brooklyn kosher certified. Just save room for dessert because their chocolate lava cake and creme brulee are incredible. Visit their Neshaminy store or one of their other greater Philadelphia locations or shop online for same day delivery straight to your door. Visit wildforkfoods.com today.
All right, Chuck.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cameron, John Ritchie on this Wednesday morning. So the season starts tomorrow, and Jimmy Rollins wants it to start with Trey Turner leading off. I mean, Jimmy, on the record earlier with the John Clark podcast audio we played, that he thinks Trey's the right guy. And look, Jimmy was the right guy and clearly the guy leading off for the Phillies for most of his career. A little bit early, Doug Glanville was the leadoff hitter with Jimmy hitting two. There was a stretch when Chase got injured in 07 and Jimmy moved to three. But for the most part, Jimmy was a leadoff hitter. He knows the mentality, the mindset of a leadoff hitter. Here's Jimmy Rollins talking to John Clark about what it means to be a leadoff hitter.
So do you think Trey will be more disciplined at the plate out of the leadoff spot? He says maybe that would help, not chasing as much and things like that.
I think that's more confidence than anything. And I had to hit third when Chase went down. And I tell you what, it's completely different than batting leadoff. And I didn't realize that until I got in that position. It's different what your job as a leadoff hitter is. You're the one to get the party started. They're not trying to pitch around you, especially not early in the game. You're going to get a couple pitches to hit, and the way that Trey can drive the ball out the yard, give him that advantage. And maybe, like you said, it becomes more disciplined because he's getting better pitches to hit.
All right. I mean,
I love hearing that. I mean, I really appreciate that information. It coming from a guy who's done both leading off and batting third, it's a major difference for him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that feels. That's good to know.
In the minor leagues, I led off pretty much every single year, and I loved it. It is, to me, it was the most fun. I never hit, like, in a 3 and 4 spot very often, but leadoff is just, it's really cool. He's right about that. They want to pitch to you. That's one of the reasons why Kyle Schwarber hits so many home runs. They don't want to lead off this game with a walk. And that's like a cardinal sin. And so that to me was one of the coolest parts of leading off.
Ruben, how much does that apply after the first inning?
I don't know. I maintain that same mentality. I mean, once you have that mentality as a hitter, now you have to situationally hit, which nobody does anymore, unfortunately. I think it's starting to come back. But I think that once you have that mentality as a hitter, you sort of stay with that mentality. So, yeah, I mean, being a leadoff guy, your mentality is the same way. I'm going to find a way to get on base and score a run. That was my mentality. Yeah. I'm not driving myself in necessarily. I'm going to figure out a way to produce a run with me scoring.
Look, I love it, and obviously for the first inning in particular, but I will say, and I've tried to make this point many times in the offseason, and I don't know how many people agree with me. I do think not enough people realize the difference, though, with no pitcher hitting ninth. I just want to put that out there.
That's different.
Like, for all the talk of all Kyle Schwarber's solo homers last year, he also had a lot that weren't solo homers, and part of that is because you have regular batters batting eighth and ninth. And back in the day, you didn't have a regular hitter hitting ninth. So, you know, it's not quite applicable totally to Jimmy's era. But I get his point. The mentality is obviously different, particularly in that first at bat.
But one thing, I agree, but these are something that I'll never, ever stop thinking about or making important. There's two ways to produce runs. You either score them or you drive them in. And some guys are unbelievable doing both, and those are the best players in the game. And that is the bottom line, producing runs. Somehow getting across home plate, and if you can do that, it doesn't matter, hell or high water, doesn't matter how you do it. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing that, then you have, you know, I don't know why that's not the most important stat, because it is. Because the whole point is to score a run.
Yeah, produce.
And that's part of what Jimmy did in 07, because I remember when Chase got injured and Jimmy had to go to three, it bumped up his RBI total so much because he was batting three there for a good stretch and already had all the runs batting one, and that's part of what he was such a statistical monster that year. I mean, it was an unusual-looking spread of numbers. I mean,
it was amazing.
It was.
And like I said, the great ones are the ones that produce the most.
All right. 215-592-9494. Time's yours and more up ahead. A lot of calls coming up. Final segment with us as we roll till 10. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. You know, they're giving all customers the chance to take a swing. That's right. Baseball coming up starting tomorrow. Take a swing at a $500,000 in bonus bets every day from March 27th, that's tomorrow, through March 30th, Thursday through Sunday. It's all part of the $500,000 daily home run jackpot. All you have to do is use your jackpot profit boost on a player to hit a home run. Find the player to hit. Look, there's some notable guys here, including the guy that typically bats leadoff. We'll see if he does how often this year. But there's a bunch of guys in the local squad and other teams that hit home runs. Find that player and lock it in for your chance at a $500,000 jackpot payoff with FanDuel.com/hammer. That's FanDuel.com/hammer. Obviously, with FanDuel Sportsbook, you can start looking ahead to college basketball, which resumes tomorrow as well. All the sports, all the games, all available for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.